Dr. Hoffman here. This Intelligent Medicine podcast is brought to you by Super Beets. I personally take Super Beets when I need a power boost. It's my favorite product. Super Beets gives me energy and stamina for my busy day. Right now, get a one-month supply free with your first order. Check out the Dr. Hoffman special right now at IntelligentBeets.com. That's IntelligentBeets.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to cover a subject of great utility because this is one of the fundamental concepts that has guided me in my practice and has delivered health to innumerable patients. It's a very, very much a centerpiece of our approach in integrative medicine. It is the elimination diet. Now, this is not a new concept. This is actually a concept that's been knocking around for decades. When pioneering allergists discovered that not just nasal congestion and asthma, typical allergy symptoms, but many types of symptoms could be alleviated with an elimination diet. So today we bring you the author of a brand new book, which puts a new comprehensive spin on the elimination diet. He's Tom Maltaire, who along with Alyssa Segerston has written an updated version of the elimination diet. Tom has a Master's of Science degree. He's a certified nutritionist, and he holds both a bachelor's and master's degree in nutrition from Bastyr University, which is a center of excellence in the field of integrative medicine. And he is a current faculty member of the Autism Research Institute. They do fantastic work utilizing biomedical approaches to autism. He's been a part of Thorne Research, which is a great manufacturer of supplements, and he's lectured on nutrition and supplementation across the U.S. and Canada. And he currently coaches doctors and other healthcare practitioners on functional medicine protocols. So without further ado, here's Tom Maltaire. Welcome, Tom.
Dr. Hoffman, it's an honor. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a great pleasure. And the book is great. And you get high praise from Jeffrey Bland, who is a pioneer in the field, and also from Mark Hyman, who is one of America's integrative doctors in the notes here on your book. They have recommended it highly. So, first of all, we'll tell us a little bit about the new way that we now construe the elimination diet.
Well, absolutely. So, you know, as you were mentioning, we used to be allergists, right? At the turn of the century, we had lots of stuff happening, actually, 1910, 1940s. We ended up having Roe publish a book on the elimination diet in the middle of the 19th century. And, you know, it's fabulous how much they would attribute food to symptomology and disease. You know, today, the elimination diet recently, for some reason, has been transformed into this, what's called a IgE allergy elimination, right? So they're looking at the fish and the shellfish and some of the common wheat, peanut, whatnot allergies, and they'll remove that and they'll say, this is called an allergy elimination diet. But as you and I have both been watching, Leo Galland and Jeffrey Bland and Alan Gaby, over the last three decades, have really brought the elimination diet into a broader swath. They said, wait a second, if you look at some of the data here, you're seeing that gallbladder disease in 1968 with J.C. Brenneman, he was curing 100% of his gallbladder disease, his gallstone clients, with an elimination diet. You look at some of the arthritis data, and 90% of the people were getting better. You look at some of the migraine data, 85% of the people were getting better. Some of the non-IgE-mediated skin responses, the atopic dermatitis, 50% of the people were getting better. So they were like, wait a second, we've got the gut, we've got the brain, we've got so many different things going on. Why don't we consider food elimination as a primary tool to interfere or intervene in the process of the body forming inflammatory chemicals? So basically, this is a foundational functional medicine tool now. In essence, the practice of functional medicine is to get to the molecular mechanism behind the disease. Try and find out what's irritating a person, creating that sense of dis-ease. And so it's been broadened tremendously now. Now people are using it for diabetes, people are using it for heart disease, people are using it for all sorts of different things. Yeah.
Well, you know, so clearly we're going beyond the narrow concept of food allergies that are obvious, where you bite into a peanut and you go into anaphylaxis, or you develop terrible wheezing after you have a smidgen of dairy. That these are the classical allergic reactions. But I think what we're talking about here when we talk about food elimination of foods that are bothersome is a wide gamut of mechanisms, some allergic, some non-allergic, that trigger harmful effects in the body.
Absolutely. And, you know, some of the symptoms would be pretty much dismissed by the average person. That's the sad thing. So many people would walk through their lives as they're doing right now. I know I've been seeing them in clinical practice over the last decade. They'll come into my practice and they'll start saying, yeah, you know, I'm just accustomed to feeling lousy when I wake up in the morning, and after I eat, I want to take a nap, and I have this kind of cloud over my head where I wish I was a little sharper, I wish I could think better, I wish I didn't have this, like, you know, fatigue all the time and joint pain that holds me back from exercising and doing the things I love to do. And they don't even think that there's something else out there. They don't even think that it's possible to wake up in the morning and feel refreshed and revived. They don't think it's even possible to walk through the day and never have any sort of low back pain, never have any joint pain, never have a single migraine, never have their skin break out. So it's interesting, you know. People are always thinking, well, you know, this is just normal. This is what life is supposed to be in the United States. And that's nonsense. You and I both know that. We've watched people wake up from very complex disorders of MS and bipolar disorder and all sorts of different things, right? So we know. And what it turns out is one of the prime irritants, one of the prime things that's leading to people to be, I would say, a step away from feeling good is them eating foods that don't work in their particular systems. So, yeah, there's the conventional allergy stuff that you know of as hives or anaphylaxis and problems breathing and whatnot. And then there's these minor reactions, these little, what people will call sensitivity reactions, that lead to this malaise or this foggy thinking. And they're never associating that with food. But my gosh, once they go on the elimination diet and they clear that up, they go, whoa, I had no idea. Like, this is a whole new world out here for me. So it's a totally different type of reaction.
I can see clearly now.
That's exactly
to coin a phrase.
Yeah.
Right? And so it seems that one man's meat may be another man's poison, because, you know, some people are allergic or sensitive to a broad swath of foods. Other people tolerate the foods that one person reacts to, but they get hammered by other foods. It's very individual, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. It is. It is so individual. And to be honest with you, more people these days are reacting to food than ever before. So I'm starting to see some bizarre things. I'm starting to see more people reacting to things like almonds and orange. So there's this, I would say, a more of a sensitivity. And I think that's caused by programming of our immune cells that's kind of misconstrued. So Normally our immune cells are able to tolerate that which they come in contact with in the environment. Things like food, things like pet dander, things like pollen. And you know, at the turn of the century, right, the only allergy we had was hay fever. And now in the last decade alone, we're seeing a doubling in peanut allergies. We're seeing in the last few decades a quadrupling of celiac disease. Food-associated sensitivity reactions are going through the roof. So, yeah, you know, it's hard for me to say everybody reacts to gluten, everybody reacts to dairy. That's not true anymore. A lot of people do react to those things, but now some people are reacting to orange and almonds. Some people are reacting to nightshade vegetables. Some people are reacting more to egg, which is ever increasingly common. So it's surprising how different it can be. You can have one person, the only thing they respond to is cashews, and then you'll have somebody else, they respond to seven different things, gluten, dairy, eggs, corn, soy, nightshade. You know, the list goes on. So, yeah, it's a completely and totally individualistic diet. That's why you have to do your own investigation. You have to examine which foods are giving you a problem. So many people look at the name The Elimination Diet and they'll say, oh, this is another diet book. And it's not. It's not your conventional diet book at all. This is a functional medicine tool for you to discover which foods make you feel fabulous and which foods are making you feel sick and tired.
But in a sense, it is a diet book because, you know, you in the book argue convincingly and you know, many of us in the practice of complementary and alternative medicine see a link between certain foods that goes beyond their mere caloric value and their ability to keep a patient overweight, gum up their metabolism, slow things down, or produce inordinate cravings, right? So somebody picks up this book, they may say, well, gee, what book shall I buy, this diet season? Shall I buy the Atkins diet, the Ornish diet, or, oh, here's a new one, it's the elimination diet. Actually, there is some plausibility in the notion that you can lose weight with this type of approach, right?
I mean, absolutely. The average person loses 10 pounds in the first couple of weeks. The dietary component of this, yes, use it as a diet to lose weight. Yeah, that's definitely a consideration. You can do this, but it's much more than that. This is, let's discover the foods that don't work in your system, the foods that do work in your system, and let's modify our diet for a period of time and watch how awesome your life can be. That's what this is. So in the process of finding the foods that work for you, absolutely you're going to shed weight. Absolutely. I mean, people are usually incredibly surprised at how much they lose in the right spots. So it's off the waist, it's off the thighs, it's not just water weight. Usually they're I would say, incredibly pleased with the weight loss. But that's not what it's designed for. It just happens to be one of the many beneficial side effects of finding the foods that work well for you.
Well, for example, we've heard the term a wheat belly. Is there something intrinsic about a food that you are intolerant to that makes it more likely to contribute to weight gain?
Oh, wow. There are multifacets to this answer to that question. Let's take one of them, which is, let's imagine that the foods that you're consuming right now are irritating your intestinal tract. And if they irritate your intestinal tract, they may cause something called intestinal permeability. And if you have increased intestinal permeability, meaning you have holes in your intestines, then you allow things to sneak into your blood that wouldn't normally be allowed to get in there. And those things might include things like bacteria. Since we have trillions of organisms in our intestinal tract, some will sneak through, absolutely. Once they sneak through, those little microbes will stimulate your immune cells, and your immune cells will go nuts. And when you're in a state of inflammation from these microbe fractions, they're called LPF, if you have this constantly going on, your body does this weird adaptation where it changes how it stores lipids, and all of a sudden you will have something called weight loss resistance. You'll have a problem letting the weight go. So if you let go of the foods, the gut heals up. You don't have those stimulations to those fat cells, the adipocytes. All of a sudden, they're not encouraged to store anymore, and they're free to release fat. So yeah, it's brilliant, brilliant how quickly the body can turn itself around once you let go of the irritants.
And another emphasis of some of the classic people in this field who I know you've studied is that there's such a thing as an allergic craving cycle. Where people who, the very foods that you seem to crave the most and get most upset about, I'll tell you a little story, I had a colleague who was by training a psychiatrist, and he was very much into elimination diets and treating food allergies. And once I was sitting down with him over dinner, and I said, well, what test do you use to determine which foods to eliminate from patients? And he would say, well, I just talk about foods with patients. It's really like a psychiatrist. Well, we just have this conversation. And I would notice how patients would react emotionally when I would suggest the elimination of one another food. And when I would suggest the elimination of wheat and a person would get very bent out of shape emotionally, I would say, aha, that's the food that they're likely to be allergic to. So, and maybe that's a little simplistic, but maybe there was some insight there.
Are you kidding me? It's uncanny. Absolutely uncanny. What a wonderful observation that those practitioners, and you have also noticed as well. I just had somebody yesterday. Yes, I was seeing clients on a Sunday. I'm very busy. I had a person yesterday, a middle-aged woman, who was going through some severe issues with gastrointestinal problems and migraines. And I had seen her a few years back. And a few years back, I saw these symptoms, and I knew immediately that she was having a gluten and dairy response. And I mentioned to her, hey, you might want to take out gluten and dairy from your diet. She says, gluten, doable. Dairy, impossible. And I said, why? And she said, well, I have this habit of putting milk in my tea. And I'm English, and therefore I always have to have milk in my tea.
It's called Tilk, I think. They call it Tilk over there.
Exactly. So you will not take away my tea. You will not take away my milk. And I'm like, look, you're right, that's not my job. I don't take away anything. I sit across from you and I give you options. And I say the last, 597 people with identical symptoms, when they took away these things, they felt better. It's up to you what you do with that information. Totally up to you. So she left, and didn't make those changes. She was just in my office yesterday after suffering for years, and finally she had taken the dairy out, and she had let go of the milk in the tea, and her sinuses drained for 2 weeks straight. She has not had a migraine, and it was the thing that she could not let go of that was causing her problems. I see this in kids. They'll be like, all they want is, grilled cheese sandwiches, or all they want is cheese all day long. You're right. It's the thing. And what happens when the body gets a food that it reacts to is that it stimulates so much of the immune cells in the intestinal tract that there's a cortisol release, there's an adrenaline response. Mm. So their heart rate actually increases. In fact, there was an entire book written about something called the pulse test.
Yeah, the COCA pulse test, right. I mean, we used to do that in the old days. We would, have people ingest food samples, and then we'd check their pulse to see if it raced when they took the foods.
Yeah, it's a rush. It's a rush. It's like a drug-like response. And now we see that, of course, there are opioid-like peptides in foods that make people addictive as well. So you're right. I would say 9 times out of 10, if not 9.9 times out of 10, if someone has a tremendous resistance to letting go of a food, like, oh, I think I might react to foods, but I'm not letting go of, I can't live without, I hear that all the time. And then once that one food disappears, the symptoms disappear. So what we're really trying to do with an elimination diet is eliminate the symptoms. We eliminate the things that are causing you pain. And once we do that, boom, you're far more likely to stick to some sort of dietary change.
And why are some foods more reactive than others? For example, if we told someone to subsist on a diet of armadillo meat, less likely they'd have problems than if they were to eat pizza.
Yeah, well, that's great. What are the more reactive foods? Gluten, dairy, eggs, yeast, corn, and soy and sugar are really up there. I'd have to say that chocolate is on the rise, especially in kids, and it may be due to a recent article that just came out showing that 59% of dark chocolates that are supposed to be milk-free actually are milk-contaminated, so it could be a milk response in the chocolates. And I'm starting to see more, as I mentioned earlier, some of the tree nuts and some of the citrus sneaking in to more people than I would have thought. So those are probably some of the most common, but there are some pretty good, safe foods out there. I would say if more people could eat squash, if more people could eat some of the cruciferous vegetables, not only are they incredibly safe allergenicity-wise, but they appear to be well-tolerated digestively as well, except for maybe cauliflower in that group doesn't necessarily bode well with FODMAP sensitivity people. But in general, I would say there's a large swath of foods that are okay. It's more the commonly consumed high-protein foods that are difficult to digest that cause problems with people.
And do you think there's a reason for this modern epidemic of food intolerances? So people had less food intolerances. Is it something about our modern lifestyle or, our medications or our environment, the way we process food?
Absolutely. And, an exponential rise, you name it, on all sorts of disorders these days, whether you're talking about food sensitivity-related directly disorders like the asthma, eczema, atopy type stuff, or if you're looking at now what we're seeing is a lot of autoimmune diseases have food sensitivity-related reactions. So migraines now, they're associating with food response. They're associating the arthritis and asthma as food-associated responses. So, I would say what's happening these days is we're becoming more sensitive to our environment. We are now no longer tolerating normal proteins in our environment like those coming from food. And the hypothesis that's been laid out that's pretty well, supported in the literature is there are three primary things. Number one, we're missing microbes. We're missing the microorganisms in our environment that normally talk to our immune cells and calm them down. So literally, what's coming out in the literature these days is that our immune cells are no longer called immune cells. They're called microbial interaction cells. They're now being dictated as, defined as the sixth sense of humans. We have our sight and our smell and our taste and hearing and whatnot, but we also have the ability to sense microbes in our environment via an entire system called the microbial interaction system, aka the immune system. And this immune system, at a very early age, in fact, right after birth, is trained by microbes in what to respond to in the environment and what not to respond to in the environment. And studies in the last decade have said, they've very clearly shown us, that when certain microbes are missing, we don't dampen down our immune cell response to proteins in our environment. So you are far more likely to react to the corn or the soy or the dairy or the pet dander or the pollen. So there's a lot of different things that you could react to that you normally wouldn't if you didn't have these certain microbes around. So that's one theory, and that's, of course, due to our overuse of antibiotics. Martin Blaser wrote a beautiful book on this.
We had him on a little while ago. He's great.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's The Epidemic of Absence, another wonderful book talking about this. So, yeah, that's a terrible issue. And then on top of that, you have to think to yourself, we've had a drastic rise in chemical use in modern society. So you'll read some of these business papers, which I often do, stock investment papers on chemical companies, and they'll talk about how they've increased their use of fungicide by, you know, a few hundred million pounds per year. Or I was just reading a post on BPA, and how 750 million pounds, 750 million pounds of BPA was increased between 2012 and 2013. And you start saying, whoa, you know, that's a lot of chemicals getting put into our environment every year. And 2011 article in American Academy of Pediatrics said, yeah, we're actually up to 74 billion pounds of chemicals being imported or produced in the United States every single day. And what we're seeing is some of these chemicals now, through some of the child health environmental groups, the EDC groups, the endocrine disrupting groups, the scientists are saying, wow, some of these chemicals at very small doses, very, very small amounts, will alter dendritic cell function to determine whether something is friend or foe. They'll alter the actual TH1 versus TH2 response. So you'll end up perceiving some of these proteins as more allergenic than not. And we're actually seeing brand new research, and this came out this last year, that some of these chemicals actually bind to proteins and change the protein's shape. So now they're no longer recognized by immune cells, and they launch an allergy against them. So I would say the chemicals in the environment are unsung, I would say, villains in this particular case of increasing our responses to food. One article just showed, you know, you're familiar with parabens and triclosan, of course.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
These preservatives that we use, or hand sanitizer chemicals that we use. There was one showing that if your urinary levels were high of these chemicals, meaning you applied them on your skin, they got into your body, you had a 400% increase of food sensitivity-related reactions.
Wow.
So it's a direct constituent in this, I would say, investigation as to why we are having more reactions than ever before. And the last one is, so many people are not eating the foods that they need to eat to feed beneficial microbes, to calm down the immune response, to level out, you know, what would be happening in the intestinal tract by eating bitter, sour foods and whatnot. So the nutrition piece, if you're not having enough nutrients to dampen down your immune response and heal your tissue, then you're fighting an uphill battle. You're more likely to have a wounded intestine and therefore let things sneak through and start reacting to food particles. So I would say you've got three things: the microbes, the toxins, and the nutrients. I call it the perfect trifecta for overreaction to food.
Well, you've done a beautiful job setting the stage for our discussion of The Elimination Diet. It's a new book by yourself, Tom Maltair, along with Alyssa Segerston. And it's a practical plan for helping you to discover the foods that are making you sick and tired. We'll continue with our discussion in part two. We normally divide these podcasts into two parts, giving practical suggestions for implementation of your own personal elimination diet. Our guest is Tom Maltair. Tom, by the way, give the details about your website and your practice.
Yes, absolutely. So our website is wholelifenutrition.net, wholelifenutrition.net. And you can read more about who I am and what I do and get in touch with me for clinical practice on there as well. And you'll see all the information on our book and our program and everything else.
And you do individual consultations. Where are you located?
I'm located in Bellingham, Washington, but gosh, I just got a New Zealand client, and I have people in South Africa and Asia and all over the place, so we can do Skype as well.
So Skype, telemedicine, alive and well, and you can help coach people through their own personal elimination diet process. All right, when we return, more on the subject of The Elimination Diet. It's a great new book by today's guest, Tom Maltaire. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.